Good morning and welcome to our Sunday service. This is a special morning for our church and we are honoring our students this morning. Will you please join me in singing our opening hymn, Father, I Have Promised, hymn number 94. This morning are given by Janet Friedline to Judy Coleman Claw and Marcia Monet. She says, congratulations on completing the 6 classes in the Divine Science course of study. You have begun a spiritual journey, one that never ends. Be still and know is the way. Walk ye in it. Stay on the path. Be true to yourself. God in the midst of you is your sufficiency. Thank you, Janet. The church office and the bookstore are open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 10 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And of course, all of you are welcome to stop by to visit for prayer or for counseling, to visit the library, or to experience a quiet meditation in the sanctuary. Our Sunday lessons are available for downloading free of charge from our website. However, if you don't choose to do that yourself, Margaret will be happy to make copies for you if you sign up on the clipboard in the library. Our practitioners are available for prayer and for counseling at any time. You'll find our names and telephone numbers listed on the back of the Sunday program as well as in our monthly newsletters. All discussions with practitioners are private and confidential. If you are a visitor to our church for the first time this morning, we welcome you. We look forward to having you join us again another Sunday. If you would like to receive some information about our teaching, please complete one of the visitor's cards and give it to one of the ushers as they come through for the offertory. A packet of information will be sent to you during the week. And if through your many visits with us and participation in our after-Sunday events and our evening programs, you have found our teaching to be compatible with the way you think and feel about life, we invite you to become a member of the church family. If you'd like to become a member, please complete one of the membership request cards and hand that card to me as you come through the receiving line at the end of the service. Now, we in Divine Science believe in the power of true prayer. If you would like prayer for yourself or for your loved ones, please complete the prayer request card and give that card also to one of the ushers during the offertory. and prayer will be offered today as well as throughout the week. The little cards I mentioned can be found in the little rack on the back of the pew in front of you. The Tuesday evening book study group with Reverend Janet Friedlein meets on Tuesday evenings at 6:30. All are welcome to attend. Membership in our church is not a requirement for participating in any of our evening or after Sunday programs. Next Sunday, July 2nd, Reverend Janet Friedlein will be giving the lesson. And the lesson topic is Freedom to Be. We look forward to having you join us for that service. Now today, immediately following this special service, the Alumni Association invites you to join them downstairs in the Fellowship Hall to acknowledge and celebrate our students with a light lunch reception followed by their annual meeting. All are invited. Will you join me now in singing our second hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be? This is hymn number 156. His judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, Paul was the best educated and the most intellectually proficient of all of the writers of the New Testament. Yet we find in Romans 11:33-34 the profound sense that Paul does not and never will fully understand the greatness of God. God's wisdom and knowledge has depths that no man can understand. God's judgments are unsearchable, and his paths beyond tracing out. Paul expresses the same sense in many other passages. Thus he speaks of the Lord's incomparably great power for us who believe, of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, of God's ability to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, and of the peace of God which transcends all understanding. He tells us that no eye has seen, nor ear heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. He speaks of the relationship between Christ and his church as a profound mystery. He says, "Listen, I tell you, a mystery. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God is immeasurably greater than anything our limited minds can conceive. Whatever we may think or say about him, God is greater." Paul also emphasizes that our knowledge and understanding of God do not come from our intellect, nor indeed from any attributes of ours, but from the Holy Spirit and from revelation. Paul has a strong warning against false doctrine, but he emphasized that our faith must be not in doctrine, but in a person. "I know whom I have believed, whom, not what." Paul was not taught the gospel. He received it by the revelation of his Christ. His gospel came to him not simply in words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. His message and his preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that his faith might not rest on one man's wisdom, but on God's power. Paul insisted that the man without the Holy Spirit cannot understand spiritual things because they are spiritually discerned. Thus he prayed that the God would grant believers the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they would know him better and the eyes of their heart may be enlightened. He prayed that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will through spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is my prayer for you also. Let us take a moment now to acknowledge our omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient Father, who is the substance of all of life, who is wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and is love eternal and infinite. Will you please join me now in affirming the Divine Science Statement of Being? Find the Statement of Being on the inside of your Sunday program. And following the Statement of Being, there will be a brief period of silence for personal contemplation and meditation. Let us begin. God is all, both invisible and visible, one presence, one mind, one power is all. This one that is all is perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. Man is the individualized expression of God and is ever one with his perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. Will the ushers please come forward for the offertory? Father, you have given us the gifts of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And you have given us the heart to use them as lights unto the world. We are grateful, Father, for these gifts and for all of the blessings you have bestowed and continue to bestow upon us. Amen. At this time, I would like to invite Reverend Janet Friedline, our curriculum coordinator, to the pulpit to say a few words and to award certificates to our students. Janet, please come forward.
At this time, we will begin our Student Recognition Day program. Now, I think that all of us have an individual story about our personal spiritual journey. Our story may begin with how it is that we happen to find this particular church. Now, perhaps a friend might have brought us, or maybe we saw that ad in the Washington Post. We may have discovered the church website and discovered that we just had to check it out. How we got here really doesn't matter. What matters is what it is we were looking for when we decided to come in the first place, and what it is that we found when we got here. And then we are asking ourselves the question, exactly why did we stay? Divine science is a spiritual teaching. It is not an academic endeavor, nor is it a mental exercise. It is an experience of the heart, not an education for the head. It speaks to us about truth. The truth of us, and this is why we stayed, because we wanted to learn more. At some point, we decided to become a student, so we signed up for those classes. Soon we discovered this was not going to be an easy journey, not at all for the faint of heart. It requires a commitment on our part. Each class meets for 10 sessions, and there are 6 classes. And yes, there are assignments that require to be completed. And the class does begin at 9:00 in the morning. We are expected to put into practice what it is that we have learned, because you see, a spiritual teaching is a state of being and not a state of becoming. Even though it may have been challenging at times, I dare say that the students who are here this morning would not want to return to where it was before they began their spiritual studies. So I would like to encourage all of you who have not yet taken the classes to consider doing so. You know, it really is through practice and study that we discover the truth about us. I also encourage all of you who have already taken the classes to audit them. Personally, I took all of the classes several times. Each time I discovered something that I somehow missed or perhaps forgotten from those prior sessions. I look forward to seeing all of you in the fall when the classes begin in the downstairs classroom. Today we are honoring 2 students who have completed classes in the Divine Science course of study from September 2016 through June 2017. At this time, I invite Judy Coleman Claw and Marcia Monet to come forward to receive their certificates. And I ask that you two remain standing up front while you receive all of your certificates. I congratulate both of you on completing the 6 classes in the Divine Science course of study. At this time, I ask Jacqueline Scotland to present the certificate for the Bible Mystery, Bible Meaning, Old Testament class. Thank you, Jackie. Now, Marcia and Judy, can I ask you to stand on the other side to receive your certificate from Sylvia? Okay, Sylvia Anderson will now present the certificates for the Bible Mystery, Bible Meaning, New Testament class. I will now present the certificates for the Higher Training and Consecration class.
Take more.
you. A chicken and a pig were walking down the road together one morning, and they passed a sign for a local diner advertising its breakfast special. The sign said, "Ham and eggs, $2.95. The chicken looked at the pig and said, "That's our whole contribution to society, breakfast food." And the pig looked at the chicken and said, "For you, it may be a contribution. For me, it's total commitment." Life in the modern world has programmed us to expect a life of ease. It's not merely that we want everything to be easy. Who wouldn't want that? What's a bit disconcerting is that we now expect to receive abundant rewards with minimal effort. If something requires time or effort, it must not be meant to be, and we feel thoroughly justified in giving up. Worse yet are those who believe that worthy goals may be sought through illegal or less than noble means, provided that those means offer a shortcut to the goal in mind. Take, for example, the professional athlete who chooses to enhance his performance by illegally using steroids. Not only has he demeaned himself, he has robbed his fellow athletes of any kind of fair competition. Why does he do this? He does it simply because he does not want to put in the time, the effort, and the energy it takes to make himself better. This is a very dangerous road to travel. Common sense tells us that some of the best things in life demand effort and prove to be worth whatever amount of effort or practice time we have to endure in the pursuit. The best relationships require work. The best businesses have been built on the blood and sweat and tears of their owners. Even our spiritual growth is reflected of our faithful investment. G.K. Chesterton once quipped, "The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried." Of course, this is not new. Thousands of years ago, God asked, "Who is he who will devote himself to be close to me?" We don't want to hear it, but the fact is that following God, trusting in God, and doing his will requires sacrifice, effort, and devotion. Most of us, however, come looking for the spiritual growth plan that guarantees complete realization in a mere 15 minutes a day. There are many, many references in the Bible that address commitment in various aspects of life, our families, our neighbors, the church, our health, and all the things that we do and all of the things that we say. But the Bible also teaches that the chief commitment of our lives is to God Himself. Didn't the master teacher give us the great commandment? "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Jesus is telling us that with every fiber of our being, in every facet of our lives, we must be committed to loving and serving God. This means that we must hold nothing back from Him, because He holds nothing back from us. In addition, Jesus tells us that our commitment to Him must supersede our commitment to even our own families. He said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Such commitment means our family relationships may be severed. It means our commitment to Christ demands, if given an either-or situation, we turn away from them and continue on to follow Jesus. The bottom line is that those who cannot make that kind of commitment cannot be his disciple. Jesus is warning us in advance. The reason for such commitment and loyalty is that the trials that we may have to endure will be quite demanding, and our allegiance to him at times may be arduous. Jesus alerted his disciples, saying, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." The Apostle Paul echoed this warning when he said, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Jesus the Christ has made plain the cost of discipleship. He said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever would save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake will save it." In essence, the true cost of commitment to the Christ within is one's total self-denial, cross-bearing, and continual following of him. These instructions picture for us sacrifice, selflessness, and service. Paul followed the Lord's example of commitment and sacrifice and in service. He said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live is the flesh I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The Christ within each of us is our guiding light and our unerring compass. Let us be committed to God, that the Christ within us may become a fruitful servant, doing his will. God has called us to be fully committed, to be passionate followers of him who pursue intimacy with him and a desire to live fully for him. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has learned, but doing it, will be blessed in what he does." To each of you sitting here with me this morning, I urge you to practice what you have learned. Do what God has given you to do. Look beyond all appearances. Love unconditionally, and serve others without restraint. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And now it is my pleasure to award the certificates to the two lovely women who have completed the Divine Science course of study, and I'm going to cry. So please, just cry with me, okay? Judy Coleman Claw and Marcia Monet, will you please come forward? And if you'd stand in front of the pulpit, that would be terrific.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Oh.
Pleasure to award practitioner certificates to Wayne M. Gatewood, Jr. and to Jacqueline Scotland, who will be receiving practitioner's licenses. So Wayne and Jackie, will you please come forward?
Must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who was taken captive by him at his will. Foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work.
This concludes the awarding of student certificates. Congratulations to all of you, and thank you, Reverend Friedline. Please join us downstairs after the service to congratulate and celebrate these students' accomplishments. Will you please join me now in our closing meditation? Take a moment to get comfortable in your seat. Rest your feet flat on the floor and place your hands in a comfortable position in your lap or at your side. And just relax for a moment. Take a deep breath and let it out slowly, letting go of everything that you're holding within that's not holy and pure. Be still. Quiet your mind. Let go. Let go of all those worrisome thoughts that are swirling around in your head. Let go of any anger, any resentment, or any jealousy that you may be holding on to. And just be still. Be still. And go within to the center of your being, where our Father waits and welcomes you with his open arms, his unconditional love, and his great peace. Almighty Father, in the midst of me, you have given me the gifts of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, so that I might live in this world as a good citizen. But more importantly, you have given me these gifts that I may come to know you and the truth of myself and all being. You have brought me this far, Father. You have led me to this little church where truth is taught and practiced. You have provided the opportunity for my instruction. You have opened my eyes that I might see the truth. You have opened my ears that I might hear the truth. You have opened my heart that I may love you more freely, love my brothers and sisters without judgment. You have lifted my consciousness to more light, and the darkness in which I lived is lifting. The veil over my eyes is growing ever thinner as I open myself to you fully, expecting nothing of this world, but wanting with all my heart to know you. In addition to the gifts of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, you have showered me with your grace and your goodness. In my hands you have placed the gifts of joy, peace, power, love, and wholeness. These gifts are mine in abundance without ever asking. You have given them to me as a beautiful gift from a father to his beloved child. I pray, gracious and loving Father, that these gifts will grow and prosper under your loving hand, and that I may gain once again the knowledge, the insight, the wisdom and understanding that are my birthright. I know you have paved the way. You have placed my feet firmly on the path. I have taken the first steps, and I know you will guide each new step as I make the journey home to you. I surrender myself to you. Let your will be done in me. I thank you, Father, for you have heard my prayer, and you have already answered. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness, and he gives you his infinite wisdom, his flawless understanding, and his knowledge of all things. Amen.